Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, March 6th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. The Ministry of Health today convened an urgent meeting with United Nations agencies to discuss the new cholera outbreak and how they can curb the disease.
National Rapid Response Team, we have recently convened a meeting of our National Task Force on Epidemic Diseases along the sidelines of a meeting that was going on to review and plan for our NGA. We have also, just this morning, had a meeting with our partners.
Who are these partners?
In terms of...
The two main MDC formations are at it again as the Tsvangirai MDC pushes to oust from parliament erstwhile colleagues under the Welshman Ncube MDC.
This is not the first time that Gotu and his colleagues have written a letter to the Speaker. So this matter has already been ruled over by the Speaker.
And we give you the latest on Zimbabwe's weekend sporting menu with sports reporter Michael Cariati. The Minister of Health today convened an urgent meeting with various government and United Nations agencies to find ways through which to effectively curb the spread of cholera following a new outbreak. According to the government, 8 cases of cholera have been registered so far in the country. The first case was reported in Chiredzi. Cases were also reported in Bidbridge, Mudzi and Chirundu. Cholera is a communicable disease that can lead to death within hours, especially in Zimbabwe, a country with serious water and sanitation issues. Head of the Epidemiology and Disease Control Department in the Ministry of Health, Portia Manangazira, speaks with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about the issue.
4 districts within the country, initially reported in Chiredzi district of Mashingo province.
And what are you doing as the ministry to contain the spread of cholera?
We've already activated our national, sub-national rapid response team. We have recently convened a meeting of our National Task Force on Epidemic Diseases along the sidelines of a meeting that was going on to review and plan for our NGA. We have also, just this morning, had a meeting with our partners.
Who are these partners?
In terms of outbreak like cholera, we talk about the health partners, and then there's the water sanitation and hygiene partners. And then there are other partners that are involved at national and sub-national level in terms of various health programs. So we're talking about the World Health Organization, UNICEF, the Centers for Disease Prevention and Control. We're talking about the local non-governmental organizations like the National Healthcare Trust of Zimbabwe, World Vision International, the MSF.
That was the head of the Epidemiology and Disease Control Department, Portia Manangazira, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. The Constitutional Court application in which Lobengula legislator Samuel Sipepangomo of the MDC renewal team wants to compel the government to immediately implement the devolution of power clause that is enshrined in the new constitution is expected to be heard next week after 2 cabinet ministers cited in the matter failed to file opposing affidavits on Wednesday. Chief Justice Godfrey Chidiaw-Siku ordered the postponement after noting that the respondents in the matter, Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, had not filed their opposing affidavits. Sipepangomo is represented by Tendai Biti, a lawyer and Secretary General of the MDC renewal team, told Studio 7 more about his application.
So what was required was that an Act of Parliament should have been brought by Minister Chombo, who administers this piece of legislation, so that the provincial councils and the people who were elected at that time, particularly in the rural areas, and the provincial councils can be brought to be operationalized. And therefore, government has been dilly-dallying in introducing that piece of legislation so that the issue of devolution is operationalized. What devolution will do will actually make the people in that province do their own determination, prioritize their own programs, and actually begin to rule themselves rather than being ruled by central Harare or big Harare. I think for me, I am denied, and the people in my constituency, Lobengula and Bulawayo, are denied my representation at the Bulawayo Metropolitan Council. So I am saying to this constitutional court, force government to actually, within 45 days of your determination, to actually introduce a bill in parliament to operationalize a devolution of power is so important for provinces.
And that was Samuel Sipepankomo, the chairman of the MDC renewal team. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. The Speaker of the National Assembly, Jacob Mudenda, is expected to rule on the dispute between the two Movement for Democratic Change formations over the status of some members of parliament and senators. MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora confirmed that his formation had relaunched its bid to have the MPs recalled after Mudenda initially refused to rule on the matter last year. The recall has generated a lot of attention in the country, as the MDCT has said it will not participate in by-elections until electoral reforms are implemented. So, what happens then if the MPs are recalled? To explore these scenarios, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu turned to MDC Renewal spokesman Jacob Mafume and MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu. He first asked Gutu to confirm the recall bid.
The Secretary General of the party wrote a letter to both the Speaker of the National Assembly and also to the President of the Senate, recalling 17 members of the National Assembly, as well as four senators. And the recall is in terms of Section 129.1K of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, which briefly states that a member of parliament who is elected into parliament on the ticket of a particular political party will automatically lose their seat if they cease being a member of that party.
But Mr. Mafume, your response.
Yes, I think clearly this is not the first time that Gotu and his colleagues have written a letter to the speaker. So this matter has already been ruled over by the speaker. They have written actually on the 8th of May, and they wrote again on the 8th of August or October last year to ask for the expulsion of members of parliament. They clearly are failing to understand the provisions of the law. There has not been any procedures that has expelled these members of parliament from the MDCT. In fact, their leader is the one that was expelled from the MDCT. So there is an attempt to mimic or to copy ZANU-PF in doing illegal things, which is a clumsy attempt and is an unconstitutional attempt.
Mr. Gutu, is it true that you don't have any legal leg to stand on?
I'm actually bamboozled, coming from Mafume, that this is a floor-closing provision. Last time I checked, I understand he's supposed to be a lawyer. If he really familiarizes himself with the provisions of Section 129, subsection 1, subparagraph K, that are very clear and unambiguous. They say that if a member of parliament ceases to be or to belong to the political party under whose ticket he or she was voted into parliament, he or she automatically loses that position of being a parliamentarian.
You cannot just wake up and say, because you believe in a certain position and a certain leader, Therefore, these other people no longer belong to that political party, or technically they have called themselves Gematoks, therefore they are a different political party. No, no, that cannot be the law, and that is not the law of the land. So we are very clear that this process that has been initiated is the similar process of writing letters. And the other irony is that the opposition parties have said they will not participate in by-elections. Now, if you write a letter, it means there will be by-elections in 90 days. And are they willing to donate those seats to ZANU-PF?
Mr. Gutu, there is this question posed by Mr. Mafume on the by-elections. He's saying that you have indicated that you are not going to participate in those by-elections. You are calling for the recall of these parliamentarians. What happens if they are recalled?
Blessing, that is a very clear position. We are just proceeding by way of a Congress resolution.
And that was MDC Renewal Team spokesman Jacob Mafume. You also heard from MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu. The two were speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Obulawa residents say they are keenly waiting for the outcome of consultations between the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and the City Council about the local authorities' plans to install prepaid water meters, despite resistance from human rights groups and the residents. Residents and civic organizations in the city recently staged an anti-water prepaid meters march, arguing there was massive deindustrialization and unemployment in the city, which will make it impossible for some families to have unlimited access to water. Lizwe Jamela, a member of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga his organization has requested the Bulawayo City Council to explain its policies and, if need be, take available legal routes to protect the rights to water.
We realize that most of the debate that has been going on could also be influenced by ignorance. We have actually engaged City Council now. We have written to them for them to give us the information pertaining to that policy framework, if any, so that at least we will be informed and know exactly what are the options and whether residents were engaged properly and whether that policy has got any loopholes, in case we need also to do a policy brief to them for the policy to be improved, if at all it can be improved.
To be involved in this case, what really prompted you?
Oh, firstly, we were approached by residents, and as lawyers, we did a legal opinion on the issue of the prepaid meters. And seeing that it's a matter that it seems to be growing every day, and also it is a bearing on the right to water, which is a new right that is in the Constitution now. Our opinion was just based on what the law says in terms of water meters, the development that has happened in South Africa, but it had nothing to do with what City Council actually says about it.
That was Lizwe Jamela, a member of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, on the line from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, upcoming musician Pedzisai Mufara tells us about his music. But first, a look at regional and international news. A leaked African Union report calls for South Sudan's president and his main rival to be barred from a transitional government and for the war-torn country to be placed under AU control. Reports from Nigeria say members of the Boko Haram militant group are gathering in their stronghold of Goza and bringing in reinforcements from other locations. And the Palestine Liberation Organization has called on President Mahmoud Abbas to hold security operation with Israel in apparent retaliation for Israel's freezing Palestinian tax revenue. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On-again, off-again negotiations to bring peace to South Sudan have resumed with a face-to-face meeting between President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar. With a deadline looming to reach a final peace deal, the two men are expected to negotiate major issues that have complicated previous discussions. Though an agreement on the structure and mandate of a transitional government was signed in early February, details regarding power sharing, governance, and security arrangements have proved elusive. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has reached out to the warring parties and strongly urged them to seize the current and final round of negotiations to deliver a sustainable peace. "We are all well past the point where enough is enough," he said. "Leaders must put the interests of their people above their own. The violence must end. A negotiated conclusion to this conflict is required now. Legitimacy is not a presumed right of any government. It is conferred by the people, and it is sustained only by demonstrating leadership to protect and serve all citizens. These are responsibilities the government has neglected. The opposition has likewise failed to choose peace or make the hard choices required of leaders. Both President Kiir and Riek Machar have promised time and again that they would negotiate a transitional government, but have failed to make the compromises necessary. The world is watching to see what the leaders of South Sudan now will do. The United States will work with our international partners, including in the region, the UN Security Council, and beyond, to take further concerted action against those who do not demonstrate a willingness to make the difficult decisions needed for peace. Leaders can choose to do the hard work of implementing peace, or they can all too easily drift back into the nightmare of war. The choice is clear, and for the sake of all the people of South Sudan, they must choose peace.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, it's a do or die for the Chevrons in a bumper sports weekend for Zimbabwe. Michael Kariati tells us what's on the menu.
From the Cricket World Cup to the Bob 91 Super Cup via the Davis Cup Euro Africa Zone Group 2 tie, Zimbabwe sports lovers have a mouth-watering sports extravaganza. But standing between a rock and an island are the Chevrons of Zimbabwe, whose game against Ireland at the Bellevue Oval Ground could spell the end of their World Cup campaign. Zimbabwe need a win against Ireland and India in their remaining two games, and failure against Ireland tomorrow will mean the Chevrons have been eliminated from the cricket festival. At the moment, the Chevrons have 2 points and are placed sixth on the table, just ahead of the United Arab Emirates, who do not have a single point. Four teams qualify for the Super 8 stage, and Zimbabwe can do that by winning their remaining games, and cricket analyst Derek Shiwara thinks that is possible.
It's a big game, yes, but we still can overcome. And against India, this is our biggest test. But I still believe all those games, on a good day of cricket, if each one does what they're supposed to do, we will overcome.
The Chevrons will be missing captain Elton Chigumbura, was injured in the game against Pakistan. The Zimbabweans, however, still retain the stars of their team, with the likes of Hamilton Masakadza, Sean Williams, and Brendan Taylor having produced good scores so far. But Athletics Administrator Sebastian Garikai thinks the World Cup cause was lost long back after Zimbabwe failed to impose themselves on their opponents.
Go down to having nerves and holding on and trying to fight to the end, and we couldn't do that.
But yes, it is good to be patriotic, but to be honest, that Super 8 stage looks far beyond the Chevrons' reach, but far away from Australia and back here in Zimbabwe. Another tight contest is on the cards, but this time it is not cricket but football. The Green Machine of Capes United are seeking to extend their newly found dominance over their crosstown rivals, Dynamos, in the Bob 91 Super Cup set for Rufaro Stadium Sunday. The Green Machine brought Dynamos down to earth 6-5 on post-match penalties in the Sino-Zimbabwe Challenge, and much-travelled coach Gishon Ntini thinks that will be an advantage for the green half of Harare.
Cape Sladder, they've got an upper hand because they've got a psychological advantage. But Dynamos, they are going to come flat out for the first time now, and they try to make a mark. So that game is going to be a pulsating one.
However, Ntini believes Dynamos have recovered from that defeat and will upstage their bitter rivals.
I think 2-1 is going to be the final scoreline outside.
Dynamos struggled in that Sino-Zimbabwe challenge, but their former son, Roderick Mtuma, was the hero for Capes United, igniting attacks whenever in possession. Mtuma could once again play a pivotal role for the Green Machine, but matches between the two sides are usually very difficult to predict. This tournament is a celebration of the birthday of President Robert Mugabe, who turned 91 years on February 21. Dynamos are the defending champions. At the same time, the Davis Cup Euro Africa Zone Group 2 tie between Zimbabwe and Bosnia Herzegovina kicked off with the first singles. The two teams will play in the doubles tomorrow, with the reverse singles set for Sunday, when the winner will be declared. Zimbabweans from all walks of life are hoping that in the end it will be their team that will be celebrating. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Court papers reveal that Minister of State for Manicaland Provincial Affairs, Ms. Manditawepi Chimene, is trying to seize a farm complex from six individuals, among them opposition MDC members in Nyazura, who are land beneficiaries of the farm formerly owned by the late commercial farmer Dolph Dutoit and his wife Alaida. The six run various businesses at the complex that include a butchery, grocery shop, church office, a restaurant, among other businesses. Correspondent Lloyd Hamoyo has the story.
According to court papers in Studio 7 possession from the Mutare Majors Court Civil, dated 13 February 2015, Mandichimene is cited as the second plaintiff in the matter. The first plaintiff is the Minister of Lands and Rural Resettlement. The six defendants cited in the papers are Milton Munjengwa, Oliver Chinowaita, Jusa Showa, one Mrs. Moyo, one Mr. Nechawawa, and Tapiwa Gora, all of Nyazura. It is stated that the first plaintiff, who is the lands minister, is the sole and exclusive holder of all rights, title, and interest to all farm infrastructure at the gazetted land called Nyazura Farm, generally known as Nyazura Farm Complex. The minister gave Chimene a lease agreement to use the farm, meaning she is now the exclusive holder of all rights and interest to all farm infrastructure on the said farm complex, rendering the six illegal tenants. The summons state that all the defendants are now in unlawful occupation of the farm, as they hold no offer letter, land settlement lease or permit, and have, quote, baselessly, unquote, refused to vacate the farm buildings. Chimene has previously tried to evict the six to no avail, resulting in the court action. The six, who have said they intended to defend the eviction process in court, will be fined $550 if they fail to defend themselves, according to the papers. Mutare lawyer Mishik Mugadza, who is representing Chimene, says the Makoni South lawmaker has a right to use the property under a five-year lease. The six defendants could not be reached for a comment today, but the former legislator for the area, Pishai Mshauraya, who also used to use the farm complex under dispute as the constituent's office, said the move by Ms. Chimene borders on greediness.
I think she's just missing the point here. The farm and that complex are two different things. The farm is in Nyazura Urban, which is not a farming area, and the Exosia farm is about 20 kilometers from the property. Her argument is actually misplaced. I think she's just too greedy for nothing.
Ms. Chimene could not be reached for a comment on the matter today. This is not the first time that this farm has been under controversy. The former owners, Dolph and Alida Dutoit, were once attacked by a mob led by a Central Intelligence Organization imposter, Onesimus Makwengura, in 2011. It is not yet clear how the six became tenants on the farm. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Thanks, Lloyd. In our entertainment segment this week, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks with Pedzisai Mufara, an upcoming musician who has just released his debut album in Zimbabwe.
Pedzisai, thank you so much for talking to us on Studio 7.
You're welcome.
And now tell us more about your new album.
The new album is called Kuvarai Gwangu, which means I'm whiling up time. I said that because I conceived it over some period of time and I've been trying to get into the music industry. But I'm trained professional in another field. I continued to examine what is pushing me. And what was pushing me was that when I was very young at school, I think it was the choir day that attracted me to school.
Let's talk about some of the tracks on the album. Which one is most reflective of your experience through this journey of music?
Well, I think I try to sing as much as possible about what affects the generality of people. That's why you see that I sing about disease, I sing about education, I sing about health in general, I sing about what I wish Africa to be, but I'm trying to reflect issues of exclusion in life and say, how do we move together as society and make sure that we don't exclude others? I'm trying really to talk about things I feel.
What's your hope for those who listen to your album?
I really want to say enjoy the music, enjoy the beat if it is enjoyable. I can take any feedback, but at the moment I'm just saying enjoy the lyrics. If you can take something positive from them, take it and maybe leave it if it is possible. I really think some of the things that I sing there needs to be reflected on, and they are supposed to better society if they are followed.
How can other Zimbabweans or those interested in the music get in touch or find you, maybe even performing somewhere?
In terms of finding my music, I've just put it on radios so that it can be played. Those who want to buy it or can definitely find it with the record bars where they exist or even the street vendors. I have an email. It's cpandpj@gmail.com. cpandpj@gmail.com.
Leave my home. Thank you very much for joining us on Studio 7.
Thanks, Tatenda.
Thank you, Tatenda, and remember, Zimbabwe, to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the recall of MDC parliamentarians and related issues. That brings us to the end of the show, but before we go, here's a quick recap of today's top stories. The Ministry of Health today convened an urgent meeting with United Nations agencies to discuss the new cholera outbreak and how they can curb the disease. The two main MDC formations are at it again as the Tsvangirai MDC pushes to ouster from Parliament erstwhile colleagues under the Welshman Ncube MDC. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.